Sunday the 12th of May 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Healthy Church. Sermon title, Energized by Faith. Bible reading, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Talk by Roger Whip.
The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. It's good to be back in this country. Meg and I were blessed with 8 days in Turkey last week, the week before. Same sunshine, but it doesn't seem quite so hot this morning, so hence I'm putting a jumper on. There you go. It's good to be with you. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you for the privilege of sharing from your word again this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to our hearts and our minds through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Things aren't always what they seem. And as I started to prepare this talk, looking at today's passage, I thought, okay, it seems fairly straightforward. Maybe one of the easier passages to preach on. I'm so pleased that I prepared it before I went away. Because, oh boy, how wrong was my first appraisal? It's probably been one of the hardest and most challenging sermons that I've written. And I know that some of you will disagree with me on certain issues. So as always, please do feel free to speak to me afterwards, if that is the case. Now, when I preach, I always try to make it user-friendly, but I never back away from how I feel the Spirit is leading. I guess most of us are fed up with politicians and politics at the moment. And apart from the Brexit fiasco, I get frustrated and annoyed over a number of issues used to gain political points over opponents from both sides of the house. Just one example is the amount of beggars and rough sleepers on the streets. Yes, it's shocking. But things aren't always as they seem. Today, as we look at this poor lame beggar story, I asked the question, how many of the begging, so-called rough sleepers, are in genuine financial need? Before you turn off and you accuse me of being very unchristian and uncharitable, let's consider some of the evidence. I don't know if any of you, like me, watch the Channel 4 programme where an ex-SAS soldier with no preconceived thoughts or political agenda was asked to spend 60 days living with the homeless on the streets of London, Manchester and Glasgow. It made compelling viewing with some astonishing facts being manifested. Now, I don't have the time to mention them all, but it transpires that many are not actually homeless. They can earn up to £200 a day tax-free, which is spent on drugs and alcohol. And most are fed really well, even if by donated junk food. Fewer than one in five people arrested for begging in England and Wales last year were legally identified as homeless. In fact, at 10:45, I'm showing a video to back up some of these facts and figures and an interview with this soldier. Why am I mentioning this? Well, in today's reading, there is a parallel as the two disciples approached this beggar. Yes, they recognised that he was genuine. He was in desperate need. But they offer him something more precious than silver and gold. They introduce him to the energising power that comes from the name of Jesus. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy books, but not brains. Money can buy a clock, but not time. Money can buy food, but not appetite. Money can buy fineries, but not beauty. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy a position, but not respect. Money can buy blood, but not life. Money can buy sex, but not love. Money can buy assurance, but not safety. Money can buy luxuries, but not culture. Money can buy amusements, but not happiness. Money can buy a cross, but not a saviour. Money can buy a passport to everywhere, but not to heaven. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that we abandon the needs of others, including the homeless. Each and every one has a need. Many have such issues as mental health, drugs and alcohol problems. Many have relationship problems. Many have made the wrong decisions in life. Yet they're still loved by God, and they need to know that. They need the experience that the lame beggar got when the disciples unleashed the mighty, energising power that comes in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the charities, especially the Christian ones, who get out there amongst the homeless and the addicted with help. They don't just plough money into them. They don't just give them gold and silver. They encourage them to change their lifestyles. Sometimes heavy preaching isn't the answer. They will know we are Christians by our love, as the old worship song mentions. However, along with practical help must come a concern for their spiritual journey. It's not just the homeless and rough sleepers that have issues that start with a bad habit that turns to an addiction. Many suffer but choose to hide under the radar. In church on a Sunday, it's every church Meg and I have been in, it's always, "Oh, how are you this morning?" "Oh, I'm fine," everyone says. "How are you this morning? Is everybody fine?" I'm not suggesting you're addicted, but sometimes we don't like admitting things, do we? Or mentioning them. Bad habits are like are very much like comfortable beds. They're easy to get into, but hard to get out of. And talking of bad habits, I did hear the story of an elderly couple. The wife proudly boasted that she had cured her husband of biting his nails. When somebody asked her, "How did you manage to do that?" "Oh, simple," she answered. "Every morning I hide his teeth." Just as bad habits affect our lives, so do good habits. And prayer is a good habit to cultivate. In fact, I even dare to suggest that perhaps that should become an addiction. Let's move on to other points that come out of our reading. A lame beggar asked for money, but Peter gave him something much better, the use of his legs. This beggar had been lame since birth, 40 years previous. No wonder he jumped up and down with joy. You know, we often ask God to solve a small problem. But he wants to give us new life and help for all of our problems. When we ask God for help, we might say, or he might say to us, "I've got something better for you." As my Life Application Bible mentions, ask God for what you want, but don't be surprised when he gives you what you really need. It's always been a puzzle to me as why this man had not been healed by Jesus. Evidently, he had been brought to the temple habitually for a long, long time. And Jesus must have certainly have seen him as he passed into the temple, as he did frequently. But he never healed him. All of which indicates that God has his time for great events. And that until that time strikes, things go on perhaps pretty much as usual. Then God's program moves into gear. And things happen which could have happened any time earlier, but didn't, for a special reason. This miracle is thought to be the first performed by the disciples since Christ's resurrection. Remember what happened immediately after the resurrection? They hid away as cowards in the upper room. Now they're on the streets doing the energizing power of Jesus. We as disciples of Christ must never give up on the fact that he may well call on us to perform healing, using not our own energy, but the energizing power of Jesus. I think we need to accept the fact that as Christians, we're not exempt from suffering and hardship. As I prepared this sermon, I came across quite an interesting fact. At the Nicene Council, which is was an important meeting in the 4th century AD, where churches came together, resulting in the formation of the Nicene Creed, a statement of belief widely used in Christian liturgy. In fact, we use it here at St. Chad's, because they're all going their own way. It's like they agreed on certain issues. Out of the 318 delegates attending, fewer than 12 had not lost an eye or lost a hand or did not limp on a leg lamed by torture because of their Christian belief. Being a Christian, can be costly. We should never underestimate the power of our prayers in Jesus' name to bring healing. Now, although I've been asked to refrain from keep mentioning Maggie's miraculous healing, here is another true story. It's probably even more powerful. At the age of 14, Barbara Kramansky had nothing wrong with her. But at 15, she began to stumble and lose her coordination. She thought it was just a part of growing up. And the vision began to blur. Her left hand tightened into a half fist. But at the age of 19, her doctors knew exactly what she had. Multiple sclerosis, MS. It's an unpredictable disease. There were times that she'd get a little better and even walk without a cane. But in 1977, her diaphragm was paralysing. Breathing was a problem. And then she got a severe lung disease. A year later, one lung collapsed and withered. Another was only half strength. Then it struck her intestines, proving she had the most dangerous form of MS. Most of her intestines were removed. A hole had to be cut into her neck so she could breathe. Three times she had a heart attack. As a final indignity, tumours relating to MS began to grow on her beautiful hands and face. She and her family were preparing for her to die. She was aged 31. 22 years before, at the age of 9, she had said to Jesus, "My life is yours." And for a while, though, she turned away from God. Who could blame her, some would say. But as the disease came to its final stages, she became closer to him than ever before. Nurses would come in and find her talking to God as if he was actually there in the room with her. On June the 7th, 1981, a local religious station, radio station, mentioned her. And 450 get well cards flooded into her at the hospital bed. On this Sunday, two women from her church came to read the cards to her. Barbara heard a voice over her shoulder. The others heard nothing. This calm voice told her, "My child, get up and walk." Barbara told the woman she was going for a walk, so I should go and get her family. She'd not walked for 2 years. She got out of bed. In fact, she jumped out of bed and she started going down the hall. Her atrophied legs had now got muscles and toneness and firmness again. Her father could not say a word. He just grabbed her and he danced around the room with her. MS is incurable. Her doctor said she should never have gotten well. Spinal tap showed that there was no trace left of MS in her. Her lungs should have been destroyed. But it was completely healthy and functioning. The lung disease, the tumours and the nerve damages were gone. Her health was completely restored instantly. You see, God can do more than we could ask for or imagine. There is still energising power in the name of Jesus. That's a true story. At 10:45, I've got press cuttings to show people. I haven't made that story up. A priest and a rabbi from local parishes were standing by the side of the road holding up signs. The rabbis read this: "The end is near." The priest on the other side of the road held up a sign which said, "Turn before it's too late." They planned to hold up their signs as each passing car came past. First one came along, called out, "Get a job." The second car, immediately behind the first, yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious freaks." Shortly, from around the curve, they heard screeching tyres and a splash, followed by more screeching tyres and another splash. The rabbi looked over at his companion and said, "Do you think we should try a different sign?" The other man responded, "Perhaps bridge down might have been better." Okay, that's a joke. But a true story is about 5 years ago, whilst worshipping at the annual Good Friday celebration outside the Baptist church, two yobs stopped in the car and shouted out, "Get a life!" Now, fortunately, due to the traffic holding them up, I was able to actually go up to the window, which was open because it was a nice day, and I responded, "I've got a life that lasts forever." How long will your life last? We all have a responsibility to explain clearly the gospel message and that there is still energizing power in the name of Jesus. Even if people choose to ignore or mock us. Sadly, most people want a quick fix in life, a life which is built on material wealth. The only definition that they know for the word saving is looking for a bargain or to build a nest egg. How powerful is Jesus' name today? Peter's defining words are as true today as they were when he first uttered them in his own legal defence before the Jewish High Council, when he had to explain how the lame man had been healed. In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved."